Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of RealCom Live. We got a really good show today. As you all know, during the pandemic, the real estate market was hit in different ways. Office was affected different than retail, and industrial different than all of them. And for some reason, which I think many of us have a good understanding of why, the industrial market did very well during the pandemic. And so who better to have come on and tell us what's going on in the industrial market other than Sunish Kashyap, the managing director and CTO of the world's largest commercial industrial real estate company, Prologis. We've been working with Prologis for a number of years, have traveled to their facilities literally in Asia and throughout the United States. Truly an innovator, truly a leader. And Sunish, it is so good to have you on today's show. And I know how busy your schedule must be. So first of all, thank you for taking the time and sharing your thoughts with our audience.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be here and look forward to a fun conversation.
So first of all, how are you? Everything going well, I hope?
Good. Yeah, things are going well. We were on this path to getting everyone back into work. And so that's been the focus of how to make this hybrid environment work for our employees. And it does seem like one step forward, two steps back sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's I want to take a couple minutes and talk a little bit about back to work because of this pause, if you will. What I tell people is it's like imagine a wave coming in and then the riptide going out and that turmoil in the middle. That's our conference this fall. That's you back to work. Somehow in these ebb and flows, we have to figure out how to get on with daily life. So how is it going? Did you pause?
No, we haven't paused. We are in what we would call a soft open right now, where folks, if they're interested in coming into the office, can. We've been monitoring the numbers, and there was a pretty healthy uptick in progress of folks coming back into the office globally. Mm-hmm. And that has certainly been damped somewhat by the Delta variant going around right now. And we were planning for a September broad opening. We will see if that sticks. It's unlikely. But I guess the hybrid environment is here to stay anyway. And we've invested in plenty of collaboration tools that through the pandemic that's going to help us with that hybrid environment.
Well, and you know, actually, we've been on a digital transformation journey, at least I have, for 25, 30 years. You know, this battle between brick and mortar being someplace in technology, and we were making progress, not as fast as I would have liked, but the pandemic changed all that, right? With forcing the world to work at home, shop at home. And I hope that after the pandemic is gone, that we don't forget all the good lessons we learned, because, you know, keeping people off of freeways and traffic jams and giving them a little bit more flexibility in place, in office, and, you know, mobile, I think there's some good to come of that.
Absolutely. I think, Jim, you're spot on. What I've seen is that there's an entire group of leadership across the corporate sector that have learned some new habits. Yes. We're talking about folks who traditionally might have be inclined to have their teams have all interactions be face-to-face. And the pandemic has forced a lot of those leaders to revisit those practices, and those habits are not going to be unlearned. So no. I do think that there will be a better embracing of collaboration technologies and remote work. We certainly are seeing it in our hiring, for instance, especially in the technology team. We're not expecting the technical talent to come to us. We would go to them.
So that opens up a global market for you guys.
Exactly. And that's the only way to compete these days for technical talent.
Yeah, I agree. I think global talent and flexible models are going to win the day. And those people who just say, we got to go back to the old way, I think they're going to see some pushback, especially by the younger generation, the talented younger generation, to say, look, treat me like an adult. We've got the tools to allow me to be in two places. And let me use those tools. So,
Sure.
So, you know, despite, all the problems that the rest of the commercial real estate had in the last 18 months, industrial has done fairly well. Can you give us a little summary? I think we know why, but I want to hear it from an expert. Why, Why? Well, first of all, what's going on in industrial, last 18 months?
Well, we've been certainly, like you said, a little bit different from the other commercial real estate sectors, and some strong tailwinds have helped fuel growth. In fact, Prologis just announced our Q2 earnings, and it was blockbuster earnings. And if there are a few key items that's powering that, it's more general in the industrial logistics sector, but particularly for Prologis, given our scale, our platform, and just the location of our properties. The first is just strong market conditions, fueled primarily by e-commerce. So we've seen, a lot of new players coming into e-commerce, forced perhaps by the pandemic. And e-commerce demands about 3 times the warehouse space that a traditional brick and mortar setting does.
Really? I did not know that.
Of all the pack and not to mention the reverse logistics, you have a place to return products to. So e-commerce is certainly leading the way. 30% of our new lease signings in Q2 were related to e-commerce. That number pre-pandemic quarter, in a typical quarter, would have been more in the low 20s or teens percentage-wise. So you can see how e-commerce certainly is fueling this growth. But it is much beyond the big players. That's the change is that there's a lot of broad demand for e-commerce space that is helping us. The second big trend is around the supply chain replenishment and resilience that we've seen. There is definitely a push towards restocking inventories from our customers, particularly retailers. There's an astounding stat that we relayed in our second quarter earnings that where inventories have increased only 3% from the trough of the pandemic. Wow. And yet retail sales have grown 20%. So there's got to be this big imbalance when it comes to our customers mostly operating with suboptimal inventories. And there's going to be a tendency to try and fix that and be resilient with the inventories. And as they seek to address that, the demand for warehouse space will only increase. So that's going to help us. The last trend we've seen is just competition for space. Because of all this new demand, we've seen unprecedented rent growth in being able to really have a good pickup. And our in-place to market percentages are the highest they've ever been. So that talks of the untapped potential for the future that will continue to fuel this growth. So all of that is helping us.
Yeah, I think like I said, we're on this 20 plus year digital transformation. Retail was certainly part of it. Pandemic throws fire on the idea and accelerates everything. And I think an online virtual e-commerce supply chain is absolutely here to stay. It's only gonna get more advanced. And that means that the whole middle of that supply chain, the industrial warehouse, has got to change with it. And that's a good segue to our next conversation about the technology side of it. So I know we've got a lot to talk about. We're gonna take a break in about 4 minutes. So let's start the conversation about what have you been doing, during a time when many people were locked in their houses. What has Prologis been doing with their different technology programs? Was it stuck in neutral? Did it advance fast? Did it go backwards?
We have always been, as our motto is, trying to stay ahead of what's next. And we saw the pandemic as an opportunity to create some distance between us and the competition and really consolidate our leadership position. And so we doubled down on our digital investments, even as the pandemic was raring worldwide, and identified about 10 digital transformation initiatives. I know digital transformation is an abused term now, but very, very strategic initiatives for us that would position us well to come out of the pandemic and kind of redefine our space, if you will. So these initiatives have been the focus over the last 12 months, 18 months, and some of them have already rolled out and we're beginning to see traction, and I'd love to talk through a few of them.
Yeah. So just to be clear though, at a time when most people were retrenching or going at the very least into neutral in a wait to see, you know, attitude, you doubled down and said, we're going to accelerate this transformation while everybody's kind of taking a break to make sure we stay at the head of the pack.
Absolutely. And you will hear our CEO, Hamid Moghaddam, talk about this. We learned the lesson from the 2008 financial crisis of how important it is to have a strong balance sheet and how to have cash on hand for downturns like this, unexpected downturns as they might be. And that really allowed us to do these investments that I'm talking about.
Wow. Wow. So let's start running through a couple of them. We'll take a break and then finish it up. But let's start with your, you know, the top of the list. What were some of the most innovative projects that you move forward with?
Well, there are a few and they're all important in their own way because they position us to be this well-rounded company. We've been on a mission over the last 3 to 5 years to provide much beyond real estate to our customers. We want to be a logistics solutions, supply chain solutions company, and provide technical solutions for our customers. Because the reality is, Jim, that a lot of our customers, as they move in, have a similar set of problems. They're all worried about transportation costs. They're all worried about labor costs. They're all looking to figure out how to get operational quickly once they move into a warehouse. Those are common themes, regardless of industry and customer segment, and we've been trying to figure those out. So one of the key areas of focus was just providing digital interfaces into our customers. On that front, we did everything from build up a customer resource center where our customers can come view their, get a feel for their 360-degree relationship with Prologis. They could look at their lease documents. They could look at their site maps. They could interact with us, look at their ledger, see how much they owe us in terms of rent. So that bringing that interaction online was one of those digital transformation plays. We also heavily invested in digital tours. Partly because of necessity. You can imagine during the pandemic, people were less likely to show up in person and tour a space. Right. Now, we do have a good problem of our spaces usually get rented out pretty quickly before we even get a chance to put a digital tour in place. That's a good problem. But nevertheless, we have been focused on building a global platform to host these digital tours. So you have a Prologis branded digital tour, no matter which country you're going to.
You mentioned that and we could quickly move on, but I want to take a minute and dissect that, because when we had to do digital tours as well for hotels during the pandemic, because we actually did a hybrid event last year where we built a studio in Denver and 40 people attended the event, and then we broadcasted it to the wider audience. We had to push the hotels to do digital tours. And we tried to assist them in getting creative with their digital tours and having different people at different locations and actually have some fun with it, take like a production mindset where, you know, you could do this very effectively, and believe me, I still want to go visit the site, but maybe not four times, you know, maybe twice, right? But it sounds like you really embraced it and got really good at it. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, there is still an adoption curve here. It's not like our customers are jumping at it in the way that we would want them to. But I think, again, given Prologis' scale, we have a chance to define business practices going forward.
That's awesome.
And so it was less about, is there an immediate uptick in the usage of these digital tours? But it's a little bit more of a longer term play where we think we can influence the market.
I'd like to go offline with you on that, because I'll share with, we had at least, I'd say four to a half dozen experiences. And they ranged from very bad to very good. And a lot of it didn't have to do with the technology. It had more to do with the protocols and the human decisions that were being made. But we'll go offline. So let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, a couple more of your projects. And then inevitably, I'm going to ask you what you're thinking next. So we'll be right back. Let's get on with our conversation. Some other highlights, so just if you could list, because we only have a few minutes. List a couple, two, three, and then we'll go deep into at least one of them.
Yeah, so the some of the others is around digital leasing. We've been on a quest over the last 3 years or so to automate and digitize our leasing process to the extent possible, starting with the customer, everything from preparing an LOI all the way to the lease becoming operational in our ERP systems, automating that end to end. And so that's been a big focus, and we doubled down on that. We've shaved tens of percentage points off of our end to end lease time as a result. And so that's been great. We rolled out a new facilities management tool in the US since in the midst of the pandemic. And then last but not least, we took a concept that originated in our Prologis labs called smart buildings and actually took it mainstream. We now have paying customers for it. And it's been great to see the progress there.
Can you give a little, I was looking at some of the prelim material for this interview, and I saw you're doing some stuff with LED lighting and smart controls. Can you give us a little summary or breakdown of what that smart building program looks like?
Sure. I think that when you think about the pain points that our customers feel, which I talked as a generic theme across industries and across customer segments, one of the big ones is just how fast it takes them to get operational. And technology certainly plays a role in that. When you think about it, every one of our customers is looking for internet access, wired and wireless networking equipment. Right. They look for a power for all of those technology equipment. And these things, while we take for granted, often add sometimes 6 months to a customer becoming operational once they move into one of our spaces. And so what we wanted to provide was as a baseline, a connected building that provides power and internet connectivity at move-in. That itself is going to up the time it takes to move in. It's going to reduce that significantly.
So at this point now, you're becoming more than just a box. You're becoming a provider of technology services that allow that customer to quickly get into business.
Absolutely. You layer on top of that some IoT offerings that we've been providing. Everything from, think about a warehouse space that's outfitted with sensors that's measuring everything from environmental factors like temperature, pressure, humidity, that's important to some of our customers, to more advanced people movement and materials movement. And right. And so we have that as an add-on component to our smart building offering. And we are beginning to see significant traction for this. We have a rich set of technology providers that are partners for us that mostly come through our Prologis Ventures initiative. Mm-hmm. We present these to our customers, and we're increasingly seeing a lot of interest in this.
So we only have a couple minutes left. Drones, robots, artificial intelligence, machine to machine, blockchain. What's the big next for Prologis?
Well, all of those things that you talked about are things we are keeping an eye on, but I'll point out a couple of areas that are particular interest, and especially on the technology side, we expect to do some big things there. One is around the whole sustainability and energy areas. And, you know, Prologis already holds an industry leading and commercial leading role in the production of solar across the globe. And it's held that position for a while. We're one of the most sustainable companies in the world. And this is an area where we could do a lot more, being more energy efficient with you can see the price of energy skyrocketing even as we speak, conventional energy. And so this alternate energy sources and renewable energy is going to be a big play for us. And since transportation accounts for a big component of the supply chain costs, it's in our customers' interest to move towards these alternate energy sources as well. And all of that contributes for us to be a big player. And so that's one of the technology areas.
So when are we going to see one of Elon Musk's new electric trucks pull into a Prologis bay?
Very soon, hopefully.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, and I can't thank you enough. I'm going to figure out a way to either create a webinar or some other format, because we could talk for hours, and the things that you are doing are truly setting global standards. And for all of those folks out there who don't have the time, resources, or team like a Prologis, hearing what you're doing is very valuable, because you are certainly a leader. You're acting like a leader, and I think everybody is and should continue to pay attention to what you folks are doing. So,
well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me. Enjoyed the conversation, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. You be well. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. So with that, let's bring on Howard Berger for one of my favorite segments, Weekly News, where him and his team pulled together what's been going on this week out in the world of real estate technology. Howard?
Hey, thanks, Jim.
All yours.
Thank you. And thank you, Sunish. I mean, that culture of there at Prologis is truly inspirational. What you and your team do is it's critical to keeping the wheels of commerce greased, moving forward, and you guys do it in such an important way. Thank you. So for the news, each week we highlight a few of the stories from our weekly news briefing, and we release it every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific. So this week's lead article is chapter 2 on achieving carbon neutrality. It was co-authored by Brenna Walraven, President and CEO of Corporate Sustainability Strategies, and Ara Shore, the Executive Director of Northeast Energy Efficiency Partnerships. Now, building owners are realizing that assessing and addressing the energy and carbon profile of their buildings, it's no longer a nice to do, but it's a core business requirement now. More and more federal governments prioritizing climate change, driving regulatory action. Even the SEC recently announced an enforcement task force focused on ESG issues. So now in total, 24 states plus DC have established economy-wide greenhouse gas emission targets, many of which align with a 50% reduction in carbon dioxide by 2030 and net or near net zero by 2050. Plus, investors are driving climate change imperative by saying that to be investable, companies need to be proactive about it. So how are commercial real estate industry leaders addressing this? In this exceptional article, Brenna and Ara deconstruct exactly what it takes to develop a comprehensive carbon management strategy. Now, this is an important read. Please, folks, don't miss it. Next, a shout out to our tech partner, Corning. Now, every building, no matter whether it's a Class A office, high rise, an industrial warehouse, sports arena, needs a robust network to support their workers, their customers, patients, and fans. Fiber optics have been a game changer and now can run vertically through the risers and horizontally to the edge, empowering enterprise and OT networks, Wi-Fi, small cells, distributed antenna systems, 5G, CBRS. Eventually, throughput, speed, resilience, low latency is going to allow more and more network traffic through adoption of what we call a wireless first architecture. Benefits, ubiquitous connectivity, definitely the next generation of connectivity in buildings. Thanks, Corning. On to the next. Now, New York City's Tenant Data Privacy Act, it was passed back on May 28th, but it's going into effect next Thursday, July 29th. It's going to address data privacy related issues around digital access controls in multifamily dwellings, things like key cards, fobs, biometrics, anything used to gain entry. Now, once it goes live, owners are going to need to get express consent from tenants and guests before they collect their data. Now, data collection, of course, will be limited to basic information, name, unit number, blah, 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 and of course, time and method of entry for security purposes. Now, you won't be able to collect information on how people use the internet or do location tracking or track minors or use information to harass or evict tenants. Essentially, you can't use the data for any reason other than granting entry, but owners, be aware and be proactive. Not sure how this is going to be monitored and enforced, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be having some interesting conversations as this story continues to evolve. So With that, unfortunately, I'm out of time. That's it for me today. Much more in our weekly briefing, so check it out, and I'll see you all next week.
Yeah, and you know, Howard, what your news stories tell me is maybe people were quarantined and in their houses for a year and a half, but the innovation market did not stop, and it's almost like they accelerated a bit. And the gap between those real estate owners who understand technology and innovation and how to apply it and those who don't is getting wider.
Yep.
I mean, when you hear Prologis talk about all the things they did during the last 18 months, if I was in the industrial warehouse business and didn't do anything, I might be a little concerned.
Well, it's in there. I mean, for Prologis, it's in their DNA from their CEO on down through the organization. I think those organizations that embedded innovation in their culture, they doubled down and they went after it.
And I think it's going to become very apparent in the next 36 months. Those real estate companies, office, industrial, retail, you know, multifamily, mixed use, it's going to become very apparent which ones get it and which ones don't. And I think the pandemic really possibly widened that gap. So thank you. Thank you for your news. Always do a great job.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Okay. All right. So before we wrap the show, what I'd like to do is hear from one of our final sponsors. I'm going to come back and just kind of close the show and tell you what we can expect next week. All right. Well, as always, I want to thank our guest, Anish Kashyap, a phenomenal leader, phenomenal man, a true innovator, and to do it at that scale at Prologis, unbelievable. Thank you to our sponsors, our team for production team for putting this on. Next week, we are really lucky to have a global visionary. I mean, not just national, but internationally recognized for his thoughts and his visions on technology. And he's going to talk about the global impact that technology is having on the commercial real estate market. Ray Wang of Constellation Research, look him up. Somebody you're not going to want to miss. And his insights have been spot on for years. And I'm real curious to see what he thinks we got coming in the next couple. So with that, I'd like to wish everybody a great day and a good weekend. And we will see you next week on WillCom Live. Be well.